was reading talking about this, our theme, it's April, and so we've changed our theme for the month. So this month, it is called Giant Gentleness. So I loved how Georgia brought in the trees. I've been read a book called Finding the Mother Tree, and it is such an amazing book because it talks about how all the trees communicate to each other, but it's all underneath the ground. The fungi, yeah. So it's just amazing how things work. So thank you for bringing that in, that whole, how we're all connected, and that's all that peace. So in this month, in those flashes when we're conscious of our oneness, there is an openness and all-encompassing love, which Theta just talked about. See, one mind all the time. And in all other moments in our lives, we need to, what happened to my notes? There we go. We don't really need anything, but it's giving ourselves that space to remember that gentleness is actually a powerful thing. It is actually a powerful thing. And a giant gentleness opens us up to who we are and what we say we want to be. It lets all the moments of our lives be sacred and holy, even the sucky ones, right? And each week this month, we're going to expand our awareness of gentleness, starting, of course, with ourselves. We acknowledge how we can allow the moments to be our highest and best. We'll move beyond judgment and embrace active compassion for our relationship with others. We breathe gentleness into our communities, our politics, and our activities. Finally, we celebrate the moments of embodying the giant and continuing the journey. So today, the start off, my topic is your gentleness is showing. So it was amazing the quote that they brought up in our, we have a team at home office, at our, I call it our home office, because we are Centers for Spiritual Living. We have over 400 centers worldwide in the Ukraine, in Africa, all over the place. So we try and all work together on a theme. Some people move into different ideas about things that are called to them. We've been here at CSL White Rock, we've been following them. So the quote that they suggested that we use for this topic today on showing up in gentleness is one by Ernest Holmes, our founder. He said, "There is something about you and me that is cosmic, universal, that stretches over time and space. Let us learn to think better of ourselves." Let us learn to think better of ourselves. Because what stops us? It's the stories that we tell ourselves about being worthy, about we're not good enough. But know that the actual truth is that each person, we are each an individualized expression of divinity. And guess what? Some moments suck. There's those moments that you're like, what the heck? But both of those statements, that we're divinity expressed, as well as that these things are going through, they're all sacred and holy all the time, not only when things feel good, and that we're always love in form. So perspective is everything. The simple shift of perspective from suffering to, and this will work out for me. This is going to be okay. This is for my highest and best good. And now, okay, I know some of you might be thinking, that's just maybe a spiritual bypass. But let's not do that. Let's, in between that, going from one side, I'm not saying it's just gonna, it can happen in that instant, but it might take a little bit of a process. Process. Are we American, Canadian? Which one are we saying it today? So it's, you know, you're starting out with, you're having that thought. Maybe it's in the middle, it's doing a meditation. Maybe it's reading a book. Maybe it's doing contemplation. My favorite, prayer. Maybe it's doing an affirmative prayer to get us into that, knowing that truth of who we really are, that we are that individualized expression of divinity. And so it's being who we are and knowing that life happens. And that's okay. And when we look at life and we can all be different aspects of it, I mean, you know, there's things in my life, I don't know if anybody else can think of a time in their life when maybe things didn't go quite the way you planned. That expectation that I put on myself that, you know, the Easter dinner was going to go without any family drama. That expectation that, oh, my son will call me while he's in Scottsdale on a stag. What am I thinking, right? So I allow myself, I know, right? So silly of me. But, you know, it's those things that I do to myself, those stories, those places that I go to, that rather than just allowing life to unfold the way it's going to unfold, it's that looking sometimes outside of ourselves, you know, like I can look at my son, Jaden, and say, oh, well, you know, he's a jerk. He didn't call me. But, or I can look at him and go, thank goodness he's having such a good time. Thank goodness that he's hanging out with this great group of guys that, you know, his friend, they're only 25 and they're starting to get into that next journey of life where one of them is getting married. Oh my goodness, right? So, you know, and I've watched these boys grow up all through hockey, all through different things, and life is shifting for them. Isn't that a different perspective? Again, it's just shifting my perspective. When I don't get into that woe is me victim mentality, like, oh, why didn't he call? So, but then it's turning that compassion around on myself. It's turning it to being in that gentle moment. And compassion stems from awareness. And we hear a lot about compassion for others. But Jack Kornfield says, if compassion does not include it for yourself, it is not complete. If compassion doesn't include yourself, it is not complete. Now, does anybody have trouble with self-compassion? Yeah, right? I love one of our teachers in the movement. She just recently made her transition, but Reverend Dr. Barbara Waterhouse said, if you could have done something differently, you would have done something differently, and you didn't. So you couldn't, right? And that's the piece. We always are doing the best that we can at that moment with that information that we have at that time. You know, hindsight is a lovely thing, and it doesn't mean that we can't learn from our experiences, learning from what we've done. So it didn't work out exactly the way I wanted it to. Okay, now, you know, as my one friend Lucy says, so what, now what? So what is that next way that I want to show up in the world? What is the way that I want to be? So by being self-compassionate, I create an openness for different ways of doing things. I get to recognize that, oh, maybe I could have done it route A, route B, route C, rather than the route that I did. And that's okay. But as long as I can forgive myself when I don't choose that way, and just learning that it's a learning curve and it's a practice. And, you know, I think of in Brené Brown's book, The Gifts of Imperfection, she talks about once she's in the store with her daughter and that great song comes on and her daughter just breaks out in this dance, and everybody, she's actually doing, I think she said it's the robot. And so she's in the middle of this shoe store doing this dance, and meanwhile there's other moms and kids looking, and she's looking around. Brené's like, oh my gosh, now what do I do? Because she can see that all of a sudden her daughter stopped and realized that people are all looking at her. And so then Brené, as brilliant as she is, she comes up and she goes, oh, honey, you got to add the scarecrow move. And I don't know how to do it, but you dangle your wrist or something. And so then she danced with her daughter for the rest of the song. Like, what an encouraging moment and a way of accepting our children or ourselves even in those moments that we step out and maybe are a little goofier than we think that is acceptable. Whatever that is, and just giving ourselves that compassion and allowing ourselves just to show up in our authenticity. And isn't that what it's about? We're each a unique individual. We have, Theta's an excellent example of her authentic voice that comes out in her songs that just bubble through. And that is Spirit speaking through her. That is Spirit speaking through her. And each of us have that. You know, and it just, I have God bumps right now thinking about that because it's so true. And how many times do I stop myself? How many times? Because I'm afraid or I don't want to show up in my vulnerability. I don't want to show up as I don't have it. I'm not the minister that has it all together. Because guess what? I don't have it all together sometimes. There's days that it's just like, oh my goodness. It's a struggle to get out of bed and go, what am I going to have to do today? And that is okay to be that minister. Because as Leonard Cohen says, right, everything has a crack. And all those cracks, that's where the light shines through. So we all have those cracks sometimes, but it's finding that gratitude for ourselves. Because I'm grateful for my husband, I'm grateful for my children, I'm grateful for this community, but how often do I just stop and say, huh, thank you, Tamara. You showed up really awesome today. Or I, you know, lovely Louise Hay. I don't know if any of you have tried doing the mirror work. Looking at yourself in the mirror saying, I love you. You're perfect. You know, I talked, I think, a couple weeks about loving that little girl. That was easier to look at the picture than actually looking at myself now in the mirror. So instead of beating myself up, it's time to turn in and look. And as I say this for myself, I hope you guys are all taking it in for yourselves as well. Because it's a choice that we can make. And I know it's not an easy choice. It, you know, we're conditioned so many times that we hear all those things from people throughout that, oh, you know, why do you do this? Nobody else in our family does. Why do you want to do, you know, I get that a lot of times from my family. They have no understanding of what I do on a Sunday. I mean, that's my family of origin. My inner family does. They show up. But it's allowing that gratitude for ourselves and compassion. They go hand in hand. Just remember that each of you here and each of you listening, you are each love expressed in this world. You are love expressed in this world. And so it is up to us to figure out how do we want to show that to others, to show it to ourselves. And I was listening to one talk this morning from one of our other spiritual leaders, and they were saying about how it's like putting that oxygen mask on first for ourselves when you're in an airplane. They always say, put the oxygen mask before you help somebody else. But that's the same with our spiritual growth. We need to do that inner work. We need to take the time to nourish ourselves so that we can give back. And being of service to others and doing something in the community, how fabulous is that? I mean, at this point, I think of Penny, who comes in every day or every Sunday, and she brings us these amazing, delicious treats. Thank you, Penny. Yeah. And we have all the other volunteers and people who are in service of setting up and doing the things. We have our new board of directors that just stepped up to help out. We have Larry stepped in today to do meditation for us because Jill and Liv are away. This is like that family, that community that we're here to. So that's that piece. We're walking each other home. We're here to support each other, not to spoon feed each other, right? It's imagine, and Reverend Terry always talks to me about, he went to the monastery and they're all sitting around the table and they were doing a retreat center or setting, and they all had their bowl of porridge, but they were given these spoons that were like 3 feet long. And they're all like, How do I do this? How do I feed myself? But then what it was that they fed the person next to them. That is how it works. So they took the spoon and did that, and that was how they ate their dinner. So that is that piece of when we can get outside of ourselves and look at different options of how can we show up in the world, we start thinking outside of the box. We start looking at ways that we can move through life and do things differently. And gentleness is about a culture where you're comfortable in your own skin and your minds are a safe and loving place. Your minds are safe and loving place. Because I know I'm my own worst enemy. I'm the one, if I make a mistake in my talk or I can hear my little lisp happening because of my tooth thing, I'm like, oh my gosh. Right? But I know that all of you out there listening and here are going to say, Tamara, you did fine. Like, it's fine. We didn't notice it that much. But it's okay. And it's okay to show up and be how I'm being. So, and building that culture where you're allowed to mess up without it being the end of the world. And isn't that what we're developing here? And wouldn't it be great to take it out into the further reaches of our community? So today in this world, you get to be yourself. You get to be different and unique. You get to fail and succeed. And you get to have good days and bad days. And that's okay. It's okay to have those days, and don't beat yourself up and think, well, I'm spiritual now. I go to Sunday and I do my spiritual mind treatment. So that should be, I should be good. Yeah, well, didn't I talk a few weeks about God winks, you know, then things happen. The dishwasher breaks down or somebody drops a phone or a phone goes off sometimes. These things happen. But life is always working out. Life is always working for us. That good that we are each seeking is seeking us. The good that we are seeking is seeking us. So it's allowing ourselves to accept that good. Because there's so many times in our lives, I mean, let's be honest. Being human, we're basically judging machines. Right? We look out, we see something, we automatically have a judgment about it. And not saying, so saying that I'm never going to judge again, just right, isn't necessarily the truth. So what do we do with that? So we go, okay, I'm noticing, oh, why am I judging that way? What about if I change my perspective? What if I looked at something a little differently? So at the end of the day, do we want to stay? I see these where I put these notes now. I forgot there was another story that Brené Brown talked about in her story, which I thought was excellent. It was one of her first talks, and she went to a ladies' luncheon at a country club. And so she said, yes, I'm a researcher on shame, blame, guilt. And the lady goes, well, I thought you were going to do like a, I'm totally paraphrasing people, so if you read the book and the story's a bit different, please don't mind me. And, you know, they said, well, no, we don't want you to talk about that. We need it to be light and breezy, and, you know, we need it to be just, you know, joyful and comfortable. So at the end of the day, that's what she delivered. She delivered that talk. And afterwards, she said, that was the worst talk of my whole entire life because I wasn't authentic. And I just kept saying, oh, life is good. Life is joyful. And all the ladies at lunch, they're eating their chicken. They're saying that. And that was the other thing. The shame part. Don't talk about shame. They're going to be eating, right? And you're like, I know, I don't know for the men in the room. Some of us women may have problems about our body shape. So when we're eating, that is a big thing for us. So just keep it light and breezy and joyful and comfortable. But is that what we want at the end of the day? Is that what moves us? Right? No. It's those times when we can talk about those hard things. It's the times when we can say, this is really uncomfortable. This is where we can practice in a safe place of saying, I messed up and I want to move through this. How can we do that? You know, I make it my personal mission to say that if I have a problem with somebody, that I will talk to them about it, that I won't let it fester, that I won't sweep it under the carpet, because you know what? I've done that. And guess what happens? You lose. Exactly. I see hands going, like, there's a division. That is keeping me separate. And if our belief is oneness, that is what I want to do, the things that encourage oneness. And it may be hard, and it may not have the outcome that I want it to have, but if I can let go of those expectations and just show up in my honest truth and being that way, then I think that's the best thing that I can do. So my homework for you this week, is what is one story that you can let go of this week about yourself? What is one story you can let go of this week about yourself and show yourself some gentleness, some compassion around that? And then maybe come up with an affirmation that when that thought pops up, that you say, no, I am love expressed in this world. I am joy. I am abundance. Whatever it is for you. And maybe do a prayer for it. And if you go, but I don't know how to do a prayer, Reverend Tamara, I'll say, come next week and talk to Diane and Jill. And then join me for 40 days of practice. Right? But there's those things. And that may, you may be thinking, 40 days? Oh my gosh, I could never do 40 days. That just seems astronomical craziness. But the thing is, if you commit to it, you can do it. And it's not going to be hard. It's just up to you what you want to put in and what you want to get out of it. And it's a great place to show up in community and find out what, if prayer, you know, we keep talking about it. Prayer makes a difference. Change your thinking, change your life. So what is the next step that we could do? And this is a great step to step into, practicing our prayer, practicing our meditation, practicing our gratitude. We've had already three different spiritual practices, I feel like, already in that we've done today. So that's my homework for you this week. See what you can let go of this week, one story about yourself. And just see if you can replace it with another thought. Come up with an affirmation prayer. And if you need help, reach out to one of our practitioners, reach out to myself, give me a call, email. Whatever it takes, because we're here to support you. Our practitioners love to be in service. It brings such joy to their hearts to do prayer for people. So I think that ends the lesson. And I will end now with prayer. Since I just talked about prayer, I'm going to take a sip of water. Knowing that there is one life, one love, one universal truth that is operating right here, right now, in, through, and as each person who's listening and here in the room, even later on YouTube, wherever you hear this message, know that you are connected to that divine love, that divine essence, that wisdom that is operating in and throughout the world. It is through nature. It is through life itself. And know that you are the good that is seeking you. As you seek it, it seeks you. So today I claim this good, this joy, this self-compassion, this gentle kindness, and showing up in ways that I haven't shown up before, knowing that I'm fully supported by that divine essence that knows the right answer, that has everything that I need right here, right now. I don't need to take another course. I don't need to do another thing. I know that my life is whole, perfect, and complete right here, right now. And everything I do on top of that is a bonus. It is a bonus that I am taking this next breath, that I am living this life the way that I desire. So today I step into that gratitude of life, gratitude of love, gratitude of joy, of knowing that I am putting the oxygen mask on first and feeding my soul, that I can reach out and help others. As each of you, it may seem insignificant. You may say hello to somebody that hasn't been talked to for a while. Whatever it is in your day, don't discount those small things. Know that everything that you do has a purpose. And yes, you can look back and reaffirm and change your mind. So today I know that each of you are that love, that joy, and gratitude expressed into this world. And I let these words go into that law of mind that always says yes. I let it be, I let it go, and ask you to join me in saying, and so it is. Thank you.